Welcome to Radio Naturopath, the call and talk show about health and natural medicine. It's January 8th, 2020. Happy New Year. I'm Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician with my co-host, Ron Meniza. If you'd like to participate in the conversation about natural medicine, you can call us at 860-486-9487. That's 860-486-9487. You can also email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org. You can also check out my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at Fran Storch, ND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. All right. So, you know, it's our first show of 2020, and 2020 means that you can see clearly.
Yes.
Yes, it's 2020. It's the year of clear vision.
It's the vision of the future.
It's a vision of the future, yes. And let's hope that we can see some wonderful things, things that were blocked from our vision that we can see this year, and we can see them clearly.
Gosh, I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder how many people are going to make all kinds of 2020 references and seeing clearly and that sort of thing.
I went back and forth with it this morning with Dr. Fisher Keller. We were having a 2020.
Yeah, but he's a cardiologist.
I know, but we're still talking about, you know, vision and things.
Yeah.
Just because I said something about, you know, what 2020 is, you know, and I said, it's the year we get to see more clearly.
I hope so.
And of course, then he like fired back with something, and then I fired back with something. We were having fun.
And we sang Johnny Nash. I can see clearly. That's the song of the year. That's the first song you should sing after Auld Lang Syne or before Auld Lang Syne. I don't even know. All right. So, what do you usually like to do for your New Year's resolutions? And do you even have New Year's resolutions? Some people say, I don't bother with resolutions because I'm already doing things I want to do. And if I make a resolution, I'm likely to break it. So,
sigh.
So you want to do things that if you want to resolve to do something, and it's true at this time of year, when you've got a break from the holidays. The holidays are a very busy time. There can be travel involved. There can be gathering involved. There's a lot of shopping involved, and then at some point that all calms down. Like after the first, those things calm down, and you actually get a break. Some of us get sick.
Some of us do.
Yes, and when I was in Florida, that's exactly what happened.
And I waited until we came back.
Yeah.
Yay.
So you got the same cold. It was just
it was just
a little cold, but this cold was really helped by lots of sleep.
Lots
of rest.
I was also sitting on the flying Petri tube, you know, right next to someone who was like sniffling and sneezing and coughing right next
yes,
to me.
Yes,
like,
I know.
Yeah. I just wanted to put like a bag over her head or something.
I know, we were, it's true, because we were in the aisle seat, in the middle seat, and she was at the window,
she was encapsulated. She was all huddled in there, pushing all of her germs out in my direction, and I'm sure that, you know, I probably was going to get it anyway, because I had been with you, because you had it, but the point is, it does, you know, gosh, that's the thing about flying, is that you're kind of trapped.
Well, we don't know if you got it from me. Or if you got it from that girl, you could have gotten it either. I mean, I think it's more likely that you got it from me because you were around me more.
Yeah, probably true.
So,
probably true.
There was a new study. I'm trying to find the latest study about the flu, elderberry and the flu. I'm not seeing a super recent one. I do see it from April of this year. But, you know, it is known that elderberry can help you fight the flu, that elderberry sticks to the flu virus and renders it inactive. It's very interesting. So I'm a big fan of elderberry syrup. So if you got some elderberry syrup around, there are different elderberry syrups that you can get. Some of the elderberry syrups, unfortunately, are more dilute than others. So if you get some of the more popular brands that are very palatable, they may have added sugars. They could have added honey. They can have added, you know, xylitol or erythritol to them. So you want to be careful that if they have a lot of water, your dosing is going to be higher. They'll still work, but you might want to find something that has nothing but elderberry and glycerin in it, a nice syrup that's just elderberry and glycerin, and that's going to tend to be more concentrated than the others, and you won't need to take as much. If you have a fussy palate, you might not like it as much either. The elderberry gummies are delicious. I don't know how well they work and how much elderberry there is per gummy, because in order to make a gummy, you have to put gum in it. You have to put the gel stuff in it. And usually the elderberry gummies taste very good because they're flavored with something other than elderberry. So they may be helpful and they may not be. I think the elderberry lozenges that are compacted elderberry that you suck on, I think those are in fact helpful. And you can get elderberry lozenges with and without zinc. And you can use elderberry. You can take one of those a day or take an acceptable dose of elder, whichever product you're using. Follow the directions on the on the bottle. Like I said, some are going to be more concentrated than others. And if you take a preventable, a prevention dose daily, you may be less likely to get sick, catch flus and colds. And then if you do in fact get sick, then you hit it a little bit harder. So whatever the dose is, you might want to double, triple, or quadruple it and take that throughout the day. Elderberry is very benign. There's very few conditions that it's not good for. Elderberry it has anthocyanins in it. It's one of those wonderful plants that have anthocyanins in it. So it is a great antiviral. It also is good for strengthening blood vessels. It happens to be a good cure for sciatica. And one of the thoughts about its curing sciatica is that perhaps sciatica has a viral component to it, that the virus is irritating the nerve that's giving you sciatic pain. But I take elderberry all year regularly as a preventative. When I stop taking my supplements regularly, that's when I'm more likely to get sick. And, you know, we indeed got sick. I really think that this virus responds well to clean your nose, clean your throat, wash your hands. Of course, washing your hands once you're sick, that's not going to prevent you from getting sick, although it will prevent you from getting further viruses. But cleaning your nose can be just blowing your nose and then using a nasal spray that has could have xylitol, grapefruit seed extract, saline in it. Might have those things and might have essential oils in it. When you buy, there is a drugstore brand that you can get. And the interesting thing about it is this drugstore brand that's a nasal spray. The nasal spray has essential oils in it, and that's the main ingredient. It has some saline and has some essential oils in it. And so they're great antimicrobials. And then this same brand has various forms of zinc. So they have melts and they have lozenges. And whether you like the taste of them or not, zinc really can shorten the duration of a cold. So if you can tolerate those, they can be very helpful. And I found that this drugstore brand that I got, the lozenges did not give me an upset stomach. I was very happy about that. So I will take those especially if I'm traveling, the lozenges that drugstore brand, and because it doesn't give me an upset stomach and it tends to be helpful. If you are traveling, you can find some of these things in the drugstore. And then the other thing, of course, is we were in Florida, so I took vitamin D by lying on the beach. And that was very helpful. And I also ate oranges from the local orchard as well as from the tree in back of where we're staying. And I also had Meyer lemon from the local orchard and the tree from where we were staying. And I'm thinking that I'm going to go ahead and order some citrus from Florida.
Yay.
If you're going to do that, you want to do it soon because the Florida citrus will turn over. It'll be done. This is when a lot of the oranges are growing. When you get later in the season, when it gets to be April, there's really no more. I mean, you might get some late bearing ripe fruit into March, but December, January, that's when the fruit is ready, and it's amazing. And I like to order it from Florida over California just because it's so much closer. And you might actually get it close to when it was picked. So I think we're going to do that. We're going to get a box of stuff from our favorite orchard that we went to.
Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. And we have to eat the citrus. And then the citrus, the citric acid, will stick to any gravel that's going on in my urinary system and prevent me from getting kidney stones, which would be very nice. All right. So what do you want to do to make 2020 fabulous and special for you?
Oh, boy.
I'm very sad that we opened the year by starting a mini war.
It's never good.
that
are no good wars.
We felt that it was necessary to take out this general. Mm. And then, of course, Iran retaliated by hitting some bases.
We swung first. We punched first.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they?
So, of course, they retaliated. What I'm hearing is that's probably going to be the extent of it. We hope so.
We hope so.
Well, because how much more can Iran do? Because, they'd be putting themselves in great danger if they started up. So,
yeah,
I don't know if they're going to be able to do anything else. But that was crazy because we weren't paying attention to the news and we were away.
That's a beauty.
And then
being
we came back
out of the loop. Is
we came back and that's what we heard.
So I'm going to throw that out there as a really healthy thing to do every once in a while. Just disconnect yourself from the loop for a little while.
Yeah, from the news.
So that's kind of a healthy thing, right?
To take a news fast and take a social media fast.
Yeah.
I found that one of the things we were doing is when we were in Florida, we were going to bed earlier than we usually do.
Yes.
And that was nice. So we were getting
more sleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
I liked it.
That was really good.
I liked it. I felt good. And plus, I was getting all the sun. It was really nice. We got out, rode our bikes almost every day. We went to the beach.
Yeah.
And we laid on the sand and, you know, let the sun beat down on us. And it was very nice.
And we went to yoga class on the beach.
Yeah.
Nice too.
Yep. Yeah, we did. Yeah.
So big shout out to Ellen for having yoga on the beach in Venice.
Major shout out to Ellen. Yeah. Yes, yes.
All right. So what do you want to do to take inventory for your life at this time of year?
Oh, boy.
I mean, that would be the first thing to do, to sit down when you have some quiet time. Now that things are maybe quieter, that, family has gone back to their respective homes and you're, getting back into a routine. I see people getting back into a routine. So I just want to say that I went to the Mansfield Community. I don't know what your experience was, but I went to the Mansfield Community Center this morning and took a swim.
Yep.
Mind you, I got in the pool at 8 o'clock, so I wasn't, with the really early crowd. But I got a lane very easily, and I didn't share at all.
Really?
Yeah, where are the people?
Wow, I don't know. They were all up in spin class.
Yeah, they were.
They were. Yeah. I had a dozen people this morning.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, at 5:45.
Yeah, I had a dozen people, and my Sunday class is going to have, so far, 14 signed up for the Sunday class.
Right, and so is that capacity?
14 of 15, yeah. There's 15 slots, 14 slots.
So somebody can grab one more.
So there's one left.
Was I on there?
I'm assuming.
I signed up.
I didn't get a list. It's complicated.
Oh, you didn't get a roster?
No, it's complicated.
I see.
It's complicated.
Okay.
I'll talk to you about it later.
All right.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's that thing. And you know, of course, you must know what the number one of the top 10 New Year's resolutions.
What?
Number one, 71% diet or eat healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that kind of fits with Radio Naturopath, you know?
Uh-huh.
Because that's what we talk about.
That's the first New Year's resolution to go on. So is it to eat healthy or is it to lose weight?
Diet or eat healthy, 71%.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay. 65%, exercise more.
Right.
And 54% on the top three, lose weight.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So lose weight is 54%, but the number one is... The number one is to just eat differently.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You want to hear the sad part?
What?
By February, 46% have given up on their resolutions.
By February, that's 1 month. Yeah. Well, that's what you see. Right? That's what I'm talking about. When you see the resolutions and then you see a very enthusiastic showing the first week or two and then you don't.
Yeah. And so, and that's what we're going to see. We're going to see that, obviously, at the community center, any of the gyms, anything like that. You're going to see people that are, on a focus to take care of themselves.
Yeah.
And then they're going to fizzle.
And you have to be careful with that this time of year because we did just get through the holidays. One of the things that happens when you get into October, November, December is that your body does naturally slow down.
Right.
And then you reach kind of a nadir of slowdown at the beginning of the year. So if you try to get into it too quickly, that's when you get sick.
Right.
Because you're more likely to get sick this time of year.
Sure.
You're more likely to get a flu or a cold or a cough.
Sure,
so you have to be careful that you really have to make sure to get adequate rest. I know that when January hits and the holidays have ended, I do get a burst of energy. I do feel like, all right, I don't have to do holiday things anymore. I can get a little bit more rest. So now I can focus on me a little bit more and focus on my goals and my workout and my business and all those kinds of things. And I do feel like I'm a little bit energized and I'm ready. And I have been guilty of diving in too quickly.
Yeah.
And not getting enough rest.
And you end up suffering from the two disease.
Yeah, too much, too fast, too soon, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's important because today I had to figure out, because I had ridden, got back to Zwift after not having been on Zwift since before the holidays. So my last Zwift was probably, it would have been, you know, before we went away.
Yeah.
So, and then, I was away from it for a week because no Zwift down there, and also who does Zwift in Florida? Why would you? Exactly.
Well, maybe to avoid getting hit by a car, but
yeah, but I don't think a lot of people who ride bikes, they ride bikes.
They actually do.
The Gulf Coast fellow rode all week while I was down there for sure.
Yeah.
They just put on their knee warmers, arm warmers, and they go. There's no snow and there's no ice. There's no reason not to ride.
Right.
So they ride outside. Getting back up here is a little sad to get back on Zwift. So I did that. And then, you know, first spin class. Oh, my goodness. That was so exciting.
Right.
And then there's going to be a bunch of those happening. As you can see, exercise is not a resolution for me because it's already a part of my life. But exercise may be harder for you. And if you're – so what did you say? The first one was changing your diet and how you eat.
Uh-huh.
So one of the things we talked about when we were in Florida, we talked about people who don't like to cook for themselves. People who don't cook it, they just don't cook. And then we heard two things. People don't cook at all. I don't cook. I hear that a lot. I hear that at my office. I don't cook. They come in and they want to change their health and they don't cook.
You know, and it is a thing. Okay, so excuses for not cooking. Number one that we heard when we were down there was, I don't want to just cook for myself.
Well, but that's not what I hear. That's not the number one. That's people really just don't cook. The I don't cook for myself usually comes from people who are accustomed to cooking for themselves and for other people.
Right.
So if they have a family orientation, that's something that they're going to see. But that's not mostly what I mean. You're going to hear that in older people. People who used to cook for a lot of people, who used to cook for a spouse that's no longer there.
We were in Florida.
Yeah.
There's lots of older people.
Right. And they get to a point where that mentality, they get sick of cooking. They feel like they cooked their whole lives because your mother went there. She was sick of cooking her whole life and she just didn't want to cook anymore.
Right.
And
so I cook for her.
Right, and you used to cook for her.
Yeah.
And we definitely see people who don't see the point of cooking a meal if they're not cooking for a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Which is something that I just...
I don't get it. Because, you know, there's a lot of things you can cook that you can, you know, have that one night, and then you can put it in the freezer or the fridge or whatever, and you can have it, you know, a couple of days a week.
That's right.
Which is fine. You can eat off of it.
Right.
And then you're only, you know, you are cooking for more than one.
That's
because,
true.
You know, you're doing it that way.
You're cooking for you several nights a week. Right?
You several nights a week. And if you really get into that, like if you go on the weekends and you start, you know, cooking up a storm, then you won't have to cook all week.
Right.
You'll just have to warm things up, which
is great.
There
are some people who are traumatized by food prep. They feel they find food prep to be difficult, and they just don't do it. And then there are people who used to be bodybuilders who had to do food prep and eat very specific things and could never eat out and that sort of thing. So they get to a point where they don't want to cook anymore. If you've had to be burdened with cooking every single day for a lot of people, that you may get to a point in your life where you don't want to anymore.
Yes.
And then, and that's one type of I don't want to cook. I used to have to cook for myself excessively. I used to have to cook for a lot of people excessively. I don't see the point in cooking for just me. We hear that. Another one I hear is just people come through their life never having cooked, always doing takeout, eating a lot of prepared food, eating things that you heat up, eating foods that don't require preparation, not eating fresh foods. That is something that I hear. When you got into, I'm not sure when it started, if it started in the probably the 50s or the 60s, probably the 60s it started, because I know that my mother was never crazy about cooking, that she used to make things that were easy to prepare, and now she's not really interested in cooking at all. And I feel like younger people are finding a resurgence, that you've got a couple directions that people are going. One is that people are either people are really getting into cooking fresh food, and the other direction is they just don't cook at all because they came through the ranks not doing it. Their parents didn't really cook. They prepared easy to prepare things, and now they don't either, and that's what they're presenting to their children. And I see parents of children, the parents will bring their children in, and the children will have cognitive issues. They'll have ADHD or some kind of learning issue. And then I talk to them about what they're feeding them, and, you know, oh, he doesn't like vegetables. He doesn't like fish. He doesn't like beef. He'll only eat chicken. And, you know, the kid's on the white diet. Kid's eating mac and cheese and bread, and that's pretty much it.
Right.
And I definitely see that. And once you get into that direction in terms of your palate, it's hard to come back from that. So there are plans that you can get, and maybe if you're a person that doesn't cook, maybe you need to look into one of these services. We talked about that Blue Apron service. So Blue Apron is interesting because they send you the ingredients and then you prepare them. But the thing with Blue Apron is it's only skipping the step of going shopping. Otherwise, you have to do a lot of food prep. And people who don't like to cook, that's why Shirley didn't want to do it. That's the problem with Blue Apron. That's Blue Apron, but they're not all like that. But Blue Apron, they just send you the ingredients, they give you preparation directions, and you make the food. But some people don't like it because it's actually too labor intensive.
Huh.
There are other services where the meals are basically put together and you just heat them up. And so maybe those services are good for you. You can find local services like that, and you can find services that are just nationwide, and maybe those are good ones still. And if you know yourself and you really know, I'm not going to be that person that cooks, I really can't even. I talked to a person about, because you know, you and I give out that handout, the no-brainer salad,
right?
And you you know how to make the no-brainer salad, and I can make it too, and you know, no-brainer stir fry, you know, they're supposed to take a very little bit of time to prepare.
Right.
If you want to have rice or quinoa with it, you have to, you know, we have a steamer. So we have the steamer does the work of making the rice and the quinoa. So we don't have to stir the rice or the quinoa. We just make it and you just throw it in, you turn it on. And we always have a steamer, and steamers have a shelf life. And when the steamer breaks, we get another one. The steamer's just something we always have because it makes it really easy to make whole grains. We like to make rice and quinoa. I prefer to eat quinoa. He prefers to eat rice.
But the no-brainer salad is like, it's less than 10 minutes.
I know,
but
not everybody, I don't know if not everybody wants to eat that, or not everybody wants to take the time to chop. I mean, the chopping doesn't take that long. It's true.
I grate most things.
And you make it more labor intensive. I don't like to do the grating. I find the grating.
I find the grating quicker.
Yeah,
I
know.
That's why I like to grate.
If you're used to grating.
Right. So what I like to do is I like to I grate my carrots. I grate my radishes.
Yeah.
And we grate a little cheese.
Yeah, I would rather use a knife.
There. And I'll use the knife to cut the cucumbers. And
do you remember it used to be that I was in charge of the salad and you were in charge of the protein that early in our relationship?
Wow, we're going to go way back in time.
That's
here.
Right. Mm. Well, you know why that changed? Because you insisted on grating.
Oh.
That's why. And that's why. And I'm like well, grating. If the standard is that, I can't stand it. I don't like doing the grating. So like when
really?
You're not around and I make a salad, I don't grate.
You don't grate.
I'd rather chop.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, and it doesn't take that long to chop what I need for a salad or two. I think it takes me less time.
But again, it doesn't take long. And then you can have other ingredients. You can throw like sunflower seeds in or nuts or, you know, cranberries or whatever you want to
anchovies.
You can keep the anchovies out of my salad,
but if you like anchovies, you can put them in your salad because they're really high in omega-3 fatty acids. They're a really good way to get omega-3s in. If you don't like them, it's okay. I'm just saying that if you like them, just be aware that they are a really easy way to get omega-3 fatty acids. They are also not good for you if you have gout, because you're eating basically an entire fish and you're going to get high purines, so you're going to be more likely to get gout. So we're trying to inspire you and make you think about, are there good ways you can eat more plant-based, more vegetables? Plant-based, boy, that is the buzzword now. And one of the interesting things that's going on with plant-based is that a lot of the fast food places and a lot of restaurants are coming out with a plant-based burger or sausage or something like that.
Yeah, what's with that?
Yeah, well, they're wanting people, because some people want to be more closer to vegetarian, eat more plant-based foods, and so, but they still want to have their burger, so they make them a burger. You know, it's not that I wouldn't eat a veggie burger. If I was going to eat a veggie burger, my requirement for the veggie burger would be that it was made of all real ingredients, that it was basically vegetables and greens and maybe a couple of grains to hold it together. One of the restaurants that are putting out a veggie patty and a sausage, it's not going to be vegan. It's going to have eggs and dairy in it, that's a way to hold it together. So if you don't mind the eggs and dairy, you can go that direction. I think it's interesting because, you know, it'll get people off meat some days. Yep. And the other issue is if you go to a fast food place, most fast food places are not serving grass-fed organic meat and poultry. And so the other thing that's promoted is the idea that when you do animal husbandry, it takes up a lot of resources, and it's part of it's part of the carbon debt we're paying to the world, that there's more carbon emissions from raising a lot of cattle. And you have to remember that when you don't, one of the ways that you get more carbon emissions from cattle is by feeding them corn. When you feed them corn, they don't digest well and they have more gas. When you allow them to eat grass and hay and what they're supposed to eat, then that doesn't happen. So just
to go down the list here. Some of the biggest fast food and casual dining chains now offer plant-based meal alternatives.
Right.
Starting with White Castle.
Wow.
Burger King.
Mm-hmm.
McDonald's.
Yeah.
A&W Canada.
Yeah.
Hard Rock Cafe.
Yeah.
The Cheesecake Factory.
Wow.
Yeah. And on down, Red Robin, Qdoba. Qdoba, I don't know what that is. TGI Fridays. They're all selling it.
When they say plant-based, what they mean is they always had salads, or you could always get veggies on your meat or chicken burger. But what they're doing is, what they're saying is that they're giving you a burger, some kind of protein source, like a central protein source that's plant-based.
Plant-based meat is absolutely safe, but it's not a health food.
Not necessarily. Depends what's in it.
Right, right. So I'm trying to find out more about this. I'll keep digging here, because I'm just curious as to how many calories are in a plant-based.
Calories. It depends. Calories of what?
Right, right. Exactly. Calories of what? Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah. So I mean, if it's, you know, again, 200 calories of chicken breast, so what? So
right here, the Beyond Meat, Subway, Impossible Foods. A Subway now has a Beyond Meatball Marinara Sub.
Really?
Right, right. There you go. The Burger King has the PLT. It's been made exclusively for McDonald's in partnership with plant-based meat startup. According to McDonald's Nutrition, the PLT has 460 calories and 25 grams of fat.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And a plant-based Whopper has 660 calories and 40 grams of fat, 12 of which are saturated and 28 grams of protein.
Well, I mean, and they're buying into saturated fat fear. If it's real saturated fat, what's the fat coming from?
Good question.
Yeah, because remember that saturated fat is not harmful. Saturated fat is, that's 1980s.
Here we go.
Let's wisdom,
go.
In quotes.
Let's take a look at the Impossible Whopper.
Yeah, here's the Impossible Burger. So the first ingredient is soy protein concentrate.
Yeah.
And then coconut oil. So coconut oil may be a source of the saturated fat, and coconut oil is harmless.
Right.
It's good for you.
It is.
The only thing is we don't know if it's virgin coconut oil. If it's refined coconut oil, then it's not going to be as good for
you. Yeah.
Then sunflower oil has natural flavors. Then it has potato protein, methyl cellulose, which is a filler. Then it has yeast extract. That's going to be for flavor. Cultured dextrose, which is sugar. It's a cultured sugar. Interesting. And that's going to give it tang, or that meaty taste.
Right.
And there's modified food starch, soy leg hemoglobin. That's interesting. So soy leg hemoglobin, I don't know if that, if soy leg hemoglobin, that's going to be something to make it look red. Salt, more soy protein isolate, mixed tocopherols, and then zinc and some vitamins. So it's not terrible.
It's not terrible, but remember, if you are doing this to get a vegan or vegetarian type of meal,
yeah,
just be aware of the fact that you have to ask for a non-broiler method of preparation.
Right.
Because they're going to cook it on the broiler that is cooking all the meat.
So look at this, the Beyond Burger. Who makes the Beyond Burger?
I don't know who the Beyond Burger is.
So Beyond Burger, this is interesting. So the really Beyond Burger, the protein source is pea protein, which I actually like. But then the next ingredient is canola oil, which I'm not excited about. And then refined coconut oil. So they put some unhealthy oils in it. Refined coconut oil is not going to be good for you. It's going to have gone through some processing, and there could be some hydrogenation in there. Canola oil, again, canola oil tends to break down under heat, so that's concerning. I do like that it's got pea protein isolate in it. And then it's got bamboo, cellulose from bamboo. Now, bamboo is interesting. If you can make fiber and foodstuffs from bamboo, I'm a fan of that because bamboo will grow anywhere. It's very easy to grow. You know, we think of bamboo as being tropical, but you can grow bamboo. We could grow bamboo if we wanted to. Methyl cellulose, which is another fiber filler, more potato starch to give it more of a mouthfeel. Then it has natural flavor, and natural flavor could be anything. It could be a starch. It could be any kind of flavoring. And then it's got maltodextrin, which is a sugar, yeast extract. So the yeast extract could be MSG. The yeast extract, also it's going to give it that umami, savory flavor. Then some salt and sunflower oil. So it's got a variety of different oils in it that are not the best oil. They're not going to put good quality, expensive oils in it. And then these good quality, these not so great quality oils are going to go get grilled on a very hot griller. So you're going to have some breakdown and some hydrogenation happening. You would be probably better off, I want to say you'd be better off with a meat burger, unless you're absolutely, you know, if you're trying to avoid meat altogether, of course you wouldn't be because you don't want to do that. But of course, if you're eating meat that's not grass-fed, it's going to have some unhealthy oils in it, and then the unhealthy oils are going to be subjected to that high heat grilling as well. They put gum arabic to make it chewy. They put citrus extract. It says to protect quality, which probably means citrus extract is going to be an antioxidant. And ascorbic acid, which is vitamin C, and also, and again, an antioxidant to maintain the color. They put beet juice extract, and that's fine, and that's for color as well, to make it red. Because you look at these burgers, and they look red, like a burger.
Right.
But that's because they have some things to make them red.
Beet juice will make it red.
Acetic acid, which is just vinegar, that's fine. Succinic acid. Not sure why they put the succinic acid in there. And the modified food starch. And the natto. And natto is a natural food extract, and that it's yellow, so it gives it it gives it a decent color. Otherwise, the thing would be kind of gray. And so these two burgers are actually vegan. How good are they for you? What I'm not sure of is what's the...
Good question.
Oh, so each burger has 20 grams of protein. And each burger is under, so this says just under 300 calories for the burger. But you said the Whopper had what, 600 calories?
630 on the plant-based and 660 on the beef-based.
Yeah. So when you're talking a Whopper, you're talking about the bun and the sauce and all of the veggies. That's,
you know,
the whole sandwich.
I wonder if it's talking about all of that or if it's just the burger itself. It's probably,
I doubt it.
Probably everything.
Yeah,
it's probably
all the
additionals and the sauces and
all
the other
That's
stuff.
A problem that I've noticed I've had in recent years. It's hard for me to eat a burger on a bun. It's just too much food. I tend to skip the bun just because I can't handle it. And then, you know, I have these nice wraps that I get that are made of just chia seeds. So when we have burgers at home, that's what I eat it on. So, I mean, are these going to be really good for you? They're going to be all right. And I was going to say that these burgers, when I was a vegetarian, I would sometimes eat, I would eat Boca burgers. And that's what they say that these kind of taste like.
Hmm.
So... Impossible Burgers are at various locations, and it's not just at one place. The Impossible Burgers are at a few different locations.
And they make Impossible Burger ingredients gluten-free.
Yeah,
also.
Right. So that's true. There's no wheat in it. That's very interesting, and the extracts are gluten-free.
But, of course, then you put it on a gluten bun, and that takes care of that problem.
Yeah, so you have to ask for no bun or
no bun.
One of these days they'll get into the gluten free. But I mean, what they'll do is they'll wrap it in lettuce for you.
It's also kosher.
Uh-huh. That's interesting.
And halal.
Halal as well.
Certified.
Yeah. So the thing with that, if you keep kosher or halal, you're probably not going to be eating in those places anyway. Because even though the burger itself, if you bought a package of the Impossible Burgers at the store, which I'm not sure you can do, the package itself would be kosher. But if you went and cooked it in a TRAFE environment, it doesn't matter.
So it's important that you ask for the Impossible Burger 2.0. That's the gluten-free one. Apparently, the regular one is...
It could have some.
No, start February. Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
Replacing the other one. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so use soy protein instead of wheat protein.
So we got here because we were wondering if you wanted to be more plant-based. If you're changing your diet and you want it to be more plant-based, do you want to try one of these burgers? I might try one of the burgers just to try it, see what it tastes like, see if I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things that happens for me, because I don't do so great with digesting a lot of concentrated animal protein, my body is really sort of geared towards being a vegetarian. And yet, if I eat completely vegetarian, that doesn't entirely work for me, because I need some amount of protein. And yet, I can eat a mostly, like that Pegan thing that Mark Hyman talks about, I can do that very well. And so where you do a small amount of animal protein and a lot of plant-based stuff, that works really well for me. And I don't have the greatest time digesting a beef burger. So, you know, that's why we wind up having burgers made from beef, usually once a week and after a really hard workout. So we might have one on Sunday because we're going to do extreme spin. But I find when I eat a plant-based burger, I don't have that I'm having difficulty digesting this thing problem. You know, I should probably take some enzymes when I eat beef.
Maybe you should consider that.
I should do that.
Yeah.
All right, I'll do that.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you're on the this is a nice time of year to do a reset. I mean, any time is good to do a reset. But I find this is a nice time of year because here in the Northeast, it's not so much fun to be outside. Unless you're a really outdoorsy person, and then I'm sure you're going up to Vermont and going skiing. But if you're down here and you can't get up to Vermont or New Hampshire, or whatever, to do your skiing or whatever, and you're hanging around in these parts of the woods, then you know it is a good time when you're not actually working to figure out what you might want to do, to be reflective, to take advantage of the colder weather where you're not excited about being outside, and think about what you might like to change and look around and take an inventory of your life and just take a little bit of time and relax and do that and just look around and see what you'd like to be different and write it down. You can review your inventory weekly if you want to. You can make a goal. You can make goals. You can make weekly goals or monthly goals. And one of your goals could be make a new goal for the next week. And it's also a good idea to write down what you accomplished already, to log if you accomplished something that was good, to write that down. Because then you can look at it then you can look at it and you can have a sense of accomplishment. And how should you log this? You should log this in a way that makes you happy. So you could write it on paper. You could type it on a laptop in a Word file or some other word processor or, you know, Google Docs or whatever. You can also write in a notepad app on your phone or your tablet. There's so many ways to do it. If you're already doing a fitness tracker or a, you know, fitness and food tracker, there are notes. There are daily notes. If you're using something like MyFitnessPal, for example, or any of the food trackers you're using, MyFitnessPal or Noom or Weight Watchers, or sorry, it's called WW now, and Lose It, Fat Secret, any of those, when you log in, every one of those days has a place where you can write notes. And you can just jot down a sentence or two about how you were feeling that day and how you're feeling about your goals. And then you can review it, and it's interesting to look at and see what was inside your head back at that time. So that's about your inventory in general. Like you said, changing your diet, that's the number one thing people do. And you're saying that changing your diet and eating more healthfully is a separate goal for people than weight loss. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's very interesting. That people want to eat healthier for the sake of eating healthier.
Yeah, I have to go back to the screen.
That's interesting.
Yeah, yes. Diet or eat healthy is 71%. Yeah. Exercise more is 65%.
Right.
Lose weight is 54%.
Yeah, and 65% of people want to exercise more. That's encouraging. I like hearing that.
It's encouraging, but, you know, 46% of them give up after February 1st.
Is that what it said?
Well, yeah. That's of all resolutions.
Yeah.
So if you.
So be careful of making resolutions. I think one thing to do is to make small goals. If you look at,
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
Make realistic resolutions.
Yeah, make small goals that are not necessarily resolutions but just things that you're going to make changes. That just have in your head, I'm going to change this. Instead of saying, all right, I'm going to eat completely plant-based. That's it. I'm getting rid of all animal protein. I'm never eating plant-based again.
I just either heard or read something within the last couple of days about the realistic resolution as far as weight loss goes.
Yeah.
Is to focus on 10% over the next 7 months.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you look at 10% over 7 months, that makes more sense.
10% of what?
10% of your body weight.
Oh.
So if you weigh 150 pounds and you want to lose 10%, you're going to talk about losing 15 pounds in 7 months.
Yeah, that's a very long time.
It's a very long time.
Yes.
But that's, I believe, I read this. I'm just trying to remember. You know, a lot of stuff goes in front of me. But I believe I read it, and it said that if you stuck to a plan like that, that you will actually lose it and it will stay off because
you're doing it very slowly.
You're doing it slowly enough.
Yeah, 50.
So looking at losing that much weight in a month because I'm going to drop 15 pounds, that's ridiculous. Makes no sense.
Yeah.
So you have to chip away at it a little bit at a time. Baby steps.
Yeah. If I lost that amount of weight, that would make a big difference in my a lot of things. That's a good amount of weight to lose. And for so 10% of your body weight is you're gonna go down probably 2 pants or dress sizes. If you're exercising, your body's gonna be easier to carry around. You're gonna improve your, and you exercise during that time, you're gonna improve your strength to weight ratio. That's a good amount to do. I should probably have that as a goal.
I can't lose 10%.
No, you can't.
No.
You can't. You
no,
already
no.
you already lost too much with
I
your surgery.
I already lost almost, you know, well, I lost not 10%, but I lost a lot just from
the
surgery.
I have the menopause 10 or 15 or 20 right now. It's really exciting. It was really interesting. I was in a fitness class not too long ago, and there were women in the class who were my age or older, and I looked around at the women, and it was interesting to note, you know, because I tend to be hard on myself about my, my weight. And, you know, I'm a naturopath. And
I never noticed.
Here I am with the menopause 10, 15, 20, whatever you might think that is. And, and of course, I shouldn't be so hard on myself because it's hard to, I mean, I'm very, very dedicated to my fitness. You know,
you are. And as hard as you are in yourself, you're far more dedicated than most people are.
Right. So I'm dedicated. So in terms of my fitness, I'm very dedicated in that way.
Right.
I do have a penchant for sugar, unfortunately. And I think that's what a lot of women run into. But my penchant for sugar, because I've had a couple of doctors say to me, I don't understand, you exercise so much. Why aren't you skinnier? Which was not the best bedside manner thing for those doctors to say.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little insensitive.
But
yeah.
But the other side of that is those two doctors who said that to me, they love me. The reason they said it is because they feel close to me and they have a lot of affection for me and they feel like there's less of a barrier between us. So they could say something like that to me. And right. Both of those doctors are heavy. They're both heavier for their sizes than I am.
Yeah.
Both of them. And I love them both dearly as well.
Right.
I'm not going to say who it is because they both said that to me. But it's interesting the two doctors said that to me.
Yes.
Not one, but two.
Right.
So they don't understand why I'm not real thin because of all the exercise I get. And it is interesting. I am proof that that fat loss is 70% in the kitchen.
Right.
And also, so you have a bunch of issues when you're getting older, when you're past menopause, like I am, and, you know, as you're getting older as a man as well, a couple things happen. One we talked about when you're not, you don't have estrogen and progesterone on board like you did when you were younger. You don't have those hormones pushing hormone-sensitive lipase, so it's harder to burn fat that way. And then we read that study about how, as you get older, the rate of putting fat into your cells increases, putting fat into your cells stays the same, but the rate of the fat exiting your cells decreases. And so the only way around that is to decrease your intake. And there's only so much. You get hungry. If you decrease your intake too much, you get hungry. And if you're an active person, you still get hungry. Having said that, when I was in Florida, I saw my mother and I saw Shirley, and they're incredibly trim and fit.
They are.
They are also. What's different about them than me?
They don't
besides
work.
The fact that, right, you got it.
They don't
it.
Work. No stress. I mean, limited stress. I won't say no stress, because I think your mom is...
Anxious
and stressed.
Yes, but what does she do when she's tired?
She sleeps.
She rests.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
That's right.
And that's something that if you're, you know, in an overly active lifestyle, being that you're working a lot,
yes,
you don't have the same opportunity.
But and the thing is, the way that your day is set up, it's you can't like, I can't always sit down to a good healthy meal, or I can't always eat what I would like to eat.
Right.
I wind up eating quickly, or sometimes I would like a meal. I've found some lovely bars that I really like. I have a favorite bar now that it's basically pea protein and nut protein, and it's really good and has really good ingredients in it, and I enjoy it. But you know, I would rather sit down and have a meal. Yesterday,
right.
I had the pleasure of my first patient was really late. Wasn't until like 11 o'clock. So I sat there and I actually had a little bit of oatmeal and I had and the oatmeal had goji berries in it. And I had an orange. That was great because I had breakfast. It was so nice.
Did you drink any of that water I sent you to work
No.
with? No.
No, I didn't. I had some water in a glass and I sipped on iced tea in the fridge. But no, I didn't drink that water. What? It's still sitting on my desk. Let's see. I'll tell you if it's still cold.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, those containers keep it really
cold.
Because
I found that the problem with those containers is I don't like drinking out of the container. I would rather drink out of a glass.
Okay.
So the thing to do would be to take the container, open it up, and pour it into a glass.
Pour it into a small glass.
Exactly. Or pour it a little bit into, exactly.
Yeah, a little bit at a time.
And I didn't do that yesterday.
Nope.
No, because if Andrea sees the glass on my desk, she fills the glass up, which is very lovely of her.
That's nice of her, yeah.
And then the water gets warm and I don't want it. It's incredible. And that's how I got a kidney stone. Right, exactly. Because you sit there, again, you sit there with your patients and you're talking to the patient. You're mostly focused on the patient, so you have to reach and drink. And you can't be doing that, like, sit and chug water. So you have to sip surreptitiously. And then again, you have the problem. The more you drink, the more you have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
But I have to stay on it or I'm going to get another kidney stone. So my resolution is to hydrate more this year.
Yes.
Just to work on hydrating more.
You should.
And I have four. There's a lot of things you can do to help to prevent and possibly treat a kidney stone, but I have, I think, five that I want to focus on. I found that making the marshmallow root tea, I may go through the bag of marshmallow root tea, but I haven't done it since I got back. And so obviously it's a pain. So
right.
I'll try to get back to it, but I don't know if I'm going to stay with the marshmallow root tea because it's a pain. But what I'm going to try to do that's easier for me, number one is to just drink more water. Just drink more water and more fluid in general.
Right.
And however I have to get that fluid in is how I get it in. That's number one. Number two is I'm going to consume more vinegar because vinegar is something else that you can take to keep your kidney stones at bay.
Okay.
So one way I'm going to do that is I might just do plain apple cider vinegar, but I'll keep fire cider around. So I still have some fire cider left from the big batch that Amy made me. So
right.
I'm going to make sure to have at least a tablespoon of that a day. And that's on top of what I put on my salad. Because the salad, you don't always get it all in. But I want to take it as a tonic. And when you do vinegar, if you take it in your mouth, you want to make sure you drink water afterwards. Or put the vinegar in water so it's dilute. Because otherwise it's going to eat your teeth. So that's number two. Number three is lots of citrus and lemon. I've been doing really well with the lemon. I squeeze lemon into, if I have iced tea, lemon goes into the iced tea, goes into the fizzy water. I'm not as excited about, I don't really like lemon in plain water so much, but I do like it very much in fizzy water. I'm always, if I have fizzy water, even if I have flavored fizzy water, I squeeze fresh lemon into it no matter what flavor it is. And I prefer it that way. So I'm good about that. And then I'm going to eat more citrus, too. We're going to, like I said, we're going to go on to go get an order from an orchard. I'm doing that today.
Yeah.
And
you should do that.
You know, get a nice order from that nice orchard we went to down in Florida. And then the other thing is pomegranate. Pomegranate juice also helps to prevent kidney stones, and it also has the other benefit for me of lowering blood pressure. So I'm going to try to do that. So it's going to be hydration in general. Hydration in general, lemon and other citrus, vinegar, and pomegranate. And then supplement-wise, I just ordered myself potassium citrate, plain potassium citrate, because I did read a study on how the citrate in potassium citrate particularly. I don't know if they studied magnesium citrate as much, and yet they tell you go ahead and eat citrus because the citrate in general all by itself is really good for keeping your urinary flow less gravelly. So I have magnesium citrate as well. So I'll try to do more natural calm, you know, the ionized magnesium citrate, along with glycine, which is calming. It's a nice, lovely calming neurotransmitter.
Yeah.
Or not neurotransmitter, amino acid. And taking a potassium citrate pill. And it's only a little bit of potassium. I'm going to take, 100 or 200 in a pill. And you get so much more in your produce. And I'm going to add coconut water, too. And coconut water is going to up my potassium as well. So that's nice. So those are a few that I'm going to resolve to hydrate and just keep the kidney stones at bay. I felt like I had some kidney colic while we were in Florida. I feel like it's gone. I don't know if
you seem good. You haven't complained about it for a while.
No, I don't know if the stone maybe came out when I wasn't looking. That would be great if it did. If it did, it did it painlessly. Because I did have a CAT scan and they found another little stone in there. And,
right.
And it was 3 millimeters. So when your stone is under 3 millimeters, that is under 5 millimeters, they don't intervene. They help you. You wait for it to pass. You don't have to have surgery, or they don't necessarily offer you lithotripsy. Especially now, I'm not symptomatic. So if
still
I just
3 millimeters. I mean, that's not.
It's not nothing.
It's not nothing.
No.
It's not nothing.
No, but it's not blocking anything, and I'm functioning, and I'm able to do all my activities. I'm not in pain, so I might as well treat it with all things I'm treating it with, and maybe it's. I did read somewhere it is possible to help it to come out without it, causing a great deal of pain. So let's hope that that's what happens.
I hope so.
I know. All right. And so we said, so actual fat loss, it's like you said, one of the things to focus on is to try to lose it slowly. And how you would lose it slowly, Now, a lot of these apps, you might want to look at one of these services, even if you just do it for a few months, something like Noom or WW, because both Noom and WW have an attitude change as part of an attitude and lifestyle as part of their philosophy, and no foods are excluded. If you're going on the ketogenic diet and you're excluding all carbs from your diet, that can be very difficult to follow. Some people do very well with that, but I would say that most people don't. And that one of the things that Noom targets is habits. And if there, you'll find that there are some habits that are making you heavy. One of my habits is I like to eat sweets, and I'll eat them. You know, I had a long, hard day where I haven't been able to sit down to a meal. And that's a big deal for me that, you know, because my days are so busy, running the business, sitting down to a meal is an issue for me. I usually only sit down to a real meal once a day. I mean, not that I don't eat throughout the day. I do. I mean, but when I eat at work, it's more in the form of very small meals or snacking. And I don't like that. I don't feel like that's taking care of myself. I enjoy eating actual meals. And so having that one meal a day at the end of the day, I really look forward to that. And I don't like to eat it at work, so it winds up happening late, and that's an issue. And so looking at those habits and changing them, whatever habit it is, if you're going to the coffee place and you're getting a big coffee with lots of cream and sugar in it, that might be a habit that you can change. Can you do the coffee with a less offending sweetener? So something like erythritol or allulose or monk fruit, so you're getting something that's sweet, but it's not so hard on you. Can you try doing your coffee with MCT oil? Even if you did a little bit of cream, maybe you could do less. And then use a non-caloric sweetener with it and see if you can cut your calories that way. And there might be some little things that you're doing, like you're having when you go through that coffee place, are you getting a big muffin? Are you getting a big bagel? Maybe you want to switch that out for a flatbread or something that has a bit less calories to it. Because some of these fast food places, they're responding to the market because they're not doing as well because people are more aware of their health. So they're trying to make it easier for you. Can you also get home-based breakfast sandwiches that are not so, full of calories? And can you cut back on your carbs? I'm not saying get rid of them completely, but can you say limit carbs to breakfast and have just a piece of toast or, half a bagel or a little bit of oatmeal and limit it to breakfast when your metabolism is highest, when you're going to be the most active and you're going to use it and you're going to burn it throughout the day and have lower carb stuff as the day progresses. That would be a way to do it. And then that's when you go more plant-based, eat more fruits and vegetables and snack on things that are more plant-based, fruits and vegetables, and even clean protein. That would be a way to go. All right. So that's that. And then getting more exercise. So everybody wants to get more exercise, right? So what's the best exercise for you?
The one you'll do.
Yeah. Right. So whatever that is. And Ron's rule of 10% in 7 months can apply to that too. So shoot for getting 10% more exercise than you're getting now by 7 months from now, right? So if you're not getting any, start by going for a 10-minute walk. And don't put a lot of pressure on yourself, because if you're not doing anything and you try to jump into a difficult routine, you won't stay with it. You need to do something that makes sense for you and that's going to work. But even just the first step of setting aside the time, saying, I'm going to take the stairs or I'm going to park farther from my office or anything like that. And once you start fitting all those things in, they start to add up over time, and then you might be able to have the fitness to go ahead and take that class. And fitness for one thing will translate to fitness for other things. So I guess that's the idea. Find things that you can do. Add more plant foods to your diet. you know, make small changes a little at a time. Think about using one of those apps because they can help you to organize your brain. Mm-hmm. Sit down and take an inventory of your life right now and think about, make a list of the things that you might want to be different this year. You know, getting more rest, getting more relaxation, doing more spiritual stuff or just things that relax you, like yoga or knitting or, you know, handcraft or meditation or just quiet sitting or being in nature more. Those are goals that you could have. So make a bunch of those goals and let me know what you decide. If you want to...
Baby steps.
Yeah. If you make any great steps in the next week, why don't you go ahead and post it on... go to @FranStorchND on Facebook and write it down. Yeah, that's my Radio Naturopath page.
There you go.
Right, and I'll be curious to see what you think about. All right, so have a great start to your year, and we will be here for the next, you know, umpteen weeks. I'm not planning to travel on a Wednesday until April, so I'll be here for the next 3 months straight. Yep. So, you have been listening to Radio Naturopath. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
How cool is that?
Mm.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. So, Radio Naturopath is a call and talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host Ron Meniza. You can also email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org. You can also leave questions or comments at my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at Fran Storch, ND. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores.